I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I find it interesting, though, that I've seen among Democratic politicians and many in the media, they seem to almost be rooting for America to fail because they don't like Trump. And if you look at some of these headlines, they're kind of wild. U.S. capability showing signs of rot. Iran regime doing well, in control. The U.S. has no strategy.
What outlets are you quoting?
U.S. has no strategy.
What are they talking about? That's crazy.
It's becoming clear all the time, frankly, that the Trump administration was not prepared for this war to last.
Now, are we any closer to finding out what the plan is here?
Here we find ourselves again in a situation where we could actually win every single battle and still lose the war.
Okay. Here's Brett Hume yesterday, Lee.
Let's turn the situation around and assume a situation in which the United States is under attack from a major enemy. And that enemy is ranging freely over our skies. They've killed the president and wiped out his cabinet. We have responded as the United States by shutting off a major waterway that we need for our economy. Do you think anyone would be saying that this is, as Walter Russell Mead put it today, a stalemate? I don't think so.
And I would add our army and our navy has been destroyed.
Yeah. And, you know, the strategic defense taken out, air defenses all taken out, the navy sunk, infrastructure completely decimated, and attacks are still continuing against the government. Yeah, Britt Hume's absolutely right. You have the left-wing media rooting for the Iranians and trying to never say anything good about Donald Trump. And that's what the problem is. If there were a Democrat president here, they would be praising this to high heaven as such a brilliant strategic move that is going to rid the world of the number one state sponsor of terrorism. That would be the headline.
Absolutely.
And they'd be once peace is declared, they'd be nominating them for the Nobel Peace Prize. But any Republican, and especially Donald Trump, will be criticized for any outcome. It makes no difference what the outcome is. There will be a critical statement about it.
What's remarkable yesterday was that Mark Rutte, who's the head of NATO.
Yes.
Made a statement.
Secretary General. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a Euro weenie. But he was really clear. This is great that Iran has been neutralized, that their nukes have been neutralized, that their missiles have largely been neutralized. And he was saying, look, we got to all get together now to figure out how to open the Strait of Hormuz. That's NATO, right? And,
yeah.
And they're pretty much the individual member nations are openly hostile to doing anything in the Strait of Hormuz. But even NATO admits that this is great for the world. Al Jazeera does a piece. Al Jazeera, Lee, flat out saying the U.S. has total control of Iran militarily. This has been an absolute victory so far. Al Jazeera announced that U.S. has won. But Senator Tom Cotton pointed this out yesterday.
Well, it's disheartening to see American reporters and American news publication, in effect, rooting against our troops and the success of their mission. We've succeeded in uniting the civilized world against Iran. Even some of the Arab neighbors of Iran who have traditionally tried to broker peace with Iran are now with the United States in this coalition. Really, the only people who are taking the side of Iran here are American liberals. It's very disheartening.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you can, compare that to the Al Jazeera headline. Your jaw is hanging open. I mean, Al Jazeera is now more positive on U.S.-Israeli strategy than the U.S. media. I mean, here's the headline. The U.S. is from Al Jazeera. The U.S.-Israeli strategy against Iran is working. Here's why. You can't find anything like that in the mainstream liberal media. It's not mainstream. I'm going to stop calling it that. In America. And Al Jazeera is not really a fan of America. They're like, yeah, it's working. They're winning. Meanwhile, Trump called the bluff of the Euroweenies yesterday, and it was glorious. Yeah. He flat out said, you know what? You don't want to help me escort your own ships through the Strait of Hormuz. Fine. Do it yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it. As yesterday, and Chinese ships and Indian ships were able to pass through. And he said to the Euroweenies, fine, escort your own ships. Good luck. After that, and the timing was exquisite, Mark Rutte from NATO came out and said, well, hold on, wait a minute. Wait, whoa, no, whoa, no, we're not talking about that now, are we? Because Trump's never taken that off the table. When he said, look, his first offer was, look, we've basically won this thing. You know, we're going to keep you safe. We'll escort you in escorting your own ships, but you got to show up. And they turned their Euroweenie noses up, which is incredible when you consider, again, depending on the month, 12 to 14% of the liquid natural gas used by Europe goes through that strait. And their plan, Lee, is just let Trump do it while we sneer at him.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
And never mind, again, it's spring. They need fertilizer. 13% of their fertilizer that's going to sustain them throughout the summer, I guess if they want to eat, I don't know if they do, is going to go through that strait too. And they're just looking at Trump, sneering at him and expecting him to escort their ships. And yesterday he threw down the gauntlet and said, I'm not doing it. Within hours, Mark Rutte, again, the head of NATO, was like, wait, excuse me. Well, now then, if that's the case.
The ballistic missiles of the nuclear capability is severely degraded. When it comes to the Strait of Hormuz, I have been in contact with many allies. We all agree, of course, that strait has to open up again. And what I know is that allies are working together, discussing how to do that. what is the best way to do it? They are working on that collectively to find a way forward.
Now, I have to say, though, Tara, Mark Rutte has got one of the most difficult jobs in the world because he is stuck between Donald Trump and the European NATO allies.
Yeah.
And honestly, Rutte is a big fan of Donald Trump.
Yeah, they're good friends.
I think he has kept NATO somewhat viable and somewhat relevant because he recognizes the leadership of Donald Trump and the necessity of having the U.S. military and our budget involved in what's going on, because without it, it's done. And, you know, Rutte is stuck, but once again, stuck between Trump and, as you say, the Euroweenies. And that's a place I would not want to be.
And the basic problem is that the Euroweenies are allies of the Democrats, but they're not allies.
They are globalists. Yeah.
They're globalists. Yeah. They're not allies of Trump. But Mark Rutte understands, having watched Trump and what he's been doing in recent months, Trump is not messing around.
No.
And when Trump says stuff like this.
Well, we don't need too much help, and we don't need any help, actually. We've wiped out their Navy, wiped out their military in every aspect. Their Air Force is now decimated. They have no Air Force, no Navy. I think NATO's making a very foolish mistake. And I've long said that, you know, I wonder whether or not NATO would ever be there for us. So this was a great test, because we don't need them, but they should have been there.
Yeah, he's absolutely right about that. But the problem that Trump has, the impression that the Strait of Hormuz is open, has to be established.
Yes.
Even if there are occasional strikes on a container ship or an oil tanker during the coming weeks, that's okay. But if there is the impression that it is not navigable by, you know, the ships without U.S. Navy support or somebody's support, if that looks like that's going to be a choke point, that's a big problem for Trump politically here in the U.S. because that is going to erode support. Democrats are never going to support anything. The Democrats in the Senate and House, they're never going to support anything. And those in the media, it doesn't matter. Even if he opens it, they're still going to criticize it. But he's got to have the support of the independent voters and the, you know, the Rhino Republicans that are still in office. And that impression, though, that the Strait of Hormuz is open, that Trump has done it and U.S. military has done it, has got to be established.
And I think that it will be. I mean, we're still bombing.
Yeah, I do too. Yes.
And it was actually glorious.
It will happen. It's just going to take a little time.
Yeah, the missile launcher is just annihilated over the last 48 hours. But yeah, it's going to take a while. And the Strait is going to be safe again. It will.
Or at least safer.
Yeah. And they know that. But yeah, it's going to be a while before we can get it exactly where we want it. But again, once that Russian oil hits the market, mm-hmm. the Strait opens, you're going to see gas prices plummet. How long have I been saying, I'm not a Johnny come lately, we've got to lift the Russian sanctions. Yeah. The American people can't afford
long
this
time,
anymore.
Long time. And as you pointed out, those sanctions were for something that Russia was accused of doing that they didn't do.
Yeah.
So,
and look, we know that definitively in the last year because of what Tulsi Gabbard and Kash Patel have declassified, that the Russia collusion hoax was cooked up by John Brennan, Barack Obama, and Hillary. Every facet of it is fake. There is no part. There was no hacking. None of it. It's all fake. And yet we sanctioned the Russian oil because of it. And in a lot of ways, I think that really just spurred the fervor of the Ukraine war because Russia's terrified. I mean, we sent tanks to their border and opened 6 CIA bases, according to New York Times, to menace them in retaliation for a Russia collusion hoax that never happened. And so understand the power of this. I keep saying this, just why I want people to not, you know, kind of despair, because you can when you go refill your gas tank. Again, who produces the most oil on Earth? Us.
Yeah.
11 to 13 million barrels a day. What was Russia producing before the sanctions? Easy peasy. 11 million a day. Mm. Imagine that gets back on the world market. That's going to make a big difference. What are they producing now under sanctions? 2 to 3 million barrels a day for sale, foreign, and that's not counted on the world market. Those prices are going to plummet. So look, Trump's got to figure it out with the missiles and keeping the Strait safe. But once that oil flows, Trump being able to use the excuse of this Iran war to finally lift the sanction is going to be a game changer, and the Democrats know it.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.